Greetings, and welcome to the IOMSN Town Hall Discussions conference call entitled Advocacy in MS. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. A brief question-and-answer session will follow the formal presentation. If anyone should require operator assistance during the conference, please press star zero on your telephone keypad. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. It is now my pleasure to introduce your host, Lori Mayer. Thank you, Ms. Mayer. You may begin.
Thank you, Doug. Good evening, everyone. My name is Lori Mayer, and I'm Director of Medical Research Services for the MS Clinic of Central Texas here in Austin, Texas. And on behalf of the IOMSN and as co-chair for this program, I'd like to welcome all of you to November's town hall discussion entitled Advocacy in MS. These educational sessions are held by telephone on the third Tuesday of each month, and each discussion is led by an IOMSN member who speaks on a selected topic for about 15 minutes, which then is followed by an open discussion limited to about an hour. We would like to acknowledge and show our appreciation to Biogen IDEC for supporting this project through an unrestricted educational grant. Thank you, Biogen IDEC. Before I introduce our speaker for this evening, I just wanted to take a moment to mention that the IOMSN is still registering online for some of the regional educational programs, which are free to nurses and offer CME, or contact hours, for continuing nursing education. There are three meetings, I believe, that are in December, on December 10th. One is in Jackson, Mississippi, another Oakland, California, and the third one is in Houston, Texas. If you'd like to register for any of these programs, just go on the IOMSN website, www.iomsn.org, and you can get more information on that. Now, I'd like to introduce our speaker for tonight's presentation, and this is Willie Watley. Willie is a nurse coordinator who works primarily with MS patients in the Department of Neurology at the University of Birmingham in Alabama. She has been involved in many MS clinical trials and is a fervent advocate for her MS patients. She has been in MS nursing, I believe, since 1996. In addition, Willie's been very involved in the development and delivery of educational programs for patients and nurses in her community. So please join me in welcoming Willie for this evening's meeting. Willie, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Thanks, Lori. Good evening, everyone. It is my privilege to speak to you this evening on advocacy in multiple sclerosis. During this discussion, I will include my experience as an MS nurse in a large academic practice. During the presentation this evening, we're going to talk about what advocacy is. We're going to talk some about how nurses are patients' advocates, and we're going to talk a little bit about when advocacy is no longer a win-win situation. And then we're going to talk some about how we can promote advocacy in our patients to try to get them to speak for themselves in those areas where they can. And then we're going to talk about some steps a patient may use to become a self-advocate. This discussion will not deal with advocacy as it relates to rights and access for the MS population as a whole, except to say that to deal with these issues, the patient should contact their legislators, policymakers, the multiple sclerosis organizations such as the National Multiple Sclerosis Society, the MS Foundation, and the Multiple Sclerosis Association of America to help them deal with these issues. If we were to define advocacy in generic terms, it would be the act or process of arguing or speaking or giving support in favor of a cause or an idea. And I think a good example of that today are the Occupy people who are advocating for the 99% who they say are don't have jobs or the money that the 1% has. As far as advocacy relates to health care, it deals with the protection of the health and abilities of our patients, prevention of injury and illness, and promoting and trying to get them to have the best health care and abilities that they can have through the things that we can help them do. And then self-advocacy can be defined as someone speaking on their own behalf. Now, as a nurse advocate, there are several roles that we play, and we can see this as we talk about multiple sclerosis, which is a chronic disease that can vary in severity from very mild to severely disabled. Some of these patients require more support than others, and we have seen in our practice that those who are moderately or severely disabled, some of them require less support than those who are very mild, who require what we call in our office a lot of hand-holding. Because some of our moderately disabled patients, we see them at their clinic visits, and we may not hear from them again until it's time for their next visit. And sometimes we have found things that they should have notified us for, but they really try to do what they need to do until they get to see us in our clinic. But our role as a patient advocate is to provide support for our patients, to protect them, and sometimes we have to protect them from themselves because sometimes they want things that are inappropriate for them, and then we have to try to explain to them that this really is not the best thing for them. Then we must help them try to make the best of the situation that they find themselves in. We provide guidance with them through the maze of healthcare, and I'm sure as we all as we see the healthcare these days, the maze is becoming more amazing. And then we provide education about what is and what is not appropriate for our patient situation. And as we talk about education, we need to educate ourselves as well so we will know how we can best speak for our patients, and we can refer to the resources that are available, such as the IOMSN and the programs that they have, publications such as Counseling Points and the International Journal of MS Care. These are good resources that we can use to keep ourselves abreast of what's happening with multiple sclerosis so we can best speak for our patients. Now, there are some specific areas of advocacy that we deal with as we speak for our patients. And one of these is insurance, and that's a biggie these days. We have to do a lot of prior authorizations for medications that the patients have to take. And sometimes we have to deal with the change in coverage because we're seeing that the coverage changes from year to year. Sometimes the patients are notified months before it's time for their insurance to start over before the first of the year that the changes that are coming down the pike. So they call us to let us know what these changes are, and then we have to see what we need to do to be the voice as we try to keep them with the coverage that they need. And then there's also prior authorizations for equipment that the patient needs. There are a lot of things they need that the insurance wants to know a reason why the patient needs to have this specific piece of equipment. Sometimes patients see ads on television and it tells them that it won't cost you a thing. But then we all know better than that there is a cost. There's nothing free these days. So we have to speak on behalf of our patients when they want this, to let them know the appropriate process that they need to get this particular piece of equipment. Then we are also advocates in the area of medication. We try to encourage our patients to adhere to the prescribed therapy, whether it is the disease-modifying agents or symptomatic treatments. Because sometimes patients, if they have severe side effects, they may decide they want to stop, and then they may not tell you that they're off until their clinic visits when they say, well, I have to fess up. And then the symptomatic treatment, sometimes we have found that patients, if the prescription run out, they stop taking it, and then when they come, they say, well, I ran out. I didn't know you needed me to take it anymore. So we have to tell them, you know, you have to call us and let us know so we can do what we need to do for you. And then as far as medication is concerned, we have found that we have to protect patients from themselves. If they have an illness or if they have symptoms of a urinary tract infection, they will find some old medicine that they had and they'll take it. They'll find some medication that husband, mama, or somebody had and they'll try to take that. And, you know, we try to tell them that when it comes to urinary tract infection, one medicine does not fit all. So you really need to do the appropriate thing when you think you have symptoms of that, and that is to have your urine checked. And then some patients want medications. The newest medication that come out on the market, they say, oh, that's for me, I want to try it. But it is not always appropriate for patients because some medications have side effects that they cannot take along with their other health issues that they have. So we have to consider their whole health as we think about the medications that that they are wanting to take, and just kind of let them know this may do you more harm than good. Then we have to be an advocate when it comes to family members. Sometimes family members have lack of knowledge when it comes to the invisible symptoms of multiple sclerosis, such as memory and fatigue. Some have said the patients are making excuses when they say they forget, or the patient said that they have to take a nap before they can do what they need to do at home. But they said, but you don't look tired, you look fine. So we have to speak for the patient to their family and help them to understand that what the patient is experiencing is real. And we can refer them to the MS organization's websites for information that they can get on cognitive issues and fatigue. And then some family members are in denial when it comes to the disability, the symptoms that some of our patients have. For example, some patients need a power-operated vehicle, but the family members say, no, you're giving up. You really don't need that. But we have to get the family to understand that these are devices that a patient can use to conserve their energy, and it would be to their benefit for them to have this device. Then we have to speak for our patient when it comes to their occupation. We have the family medical leave forms to complete. Sometimes the answers that the questions that they ask, the answers that we give can be very vague. So we need to just kind of make sure that we're clear on what we're putting on the form so that the patient can get the leave time that they need. And also, as far as work is concerned, some jobs ask for limitations and restrictions that the patient has. And when we are addressing these issues, we have to use a medical record as we speak for our patients. And we also need to get the physician's input as far as the patient's limitations and restrictions are concerned. Then we need to encourage our patients about their own health issues. Some patients push multiple sclerosis to the front of the line, and they don't consider the other health issues or screenings that individuals should have. They need to have their yearly screenings for cholesterol, if they're male, the prostate, if it's a female, mammograms, all these things. And we encourage them to seek primary care, that they need a primary care physician to handle all of these issues. Because while MS can be very quiet, they can have some of these other issues that can take the forefront. So they need to consider their entire health. So this is a way where we can educate our patients that they need to look at themselves as a whole, not just MS in specific. And then we have disability forms that we have to complete for our patients. It's important that we do these for our patients because some of their income depends on it. But when we fill out disability form, particularly if it's a new form, we need to make sure that we get the doctor's input, because I can't say a patient is disabled. I have to get that information from my physician. But we need to make sure that we are in the loop and try to speed these forms along so the patient can get the benefits that they need. And then we speak for our patient when it comes to safety. A little case study that I have is about a patient that we had. I'll call Marlene. It was brought to our attention by a family member that lived in another state that Marlene, who is a 44-year-old female patient with secondary progressive multiple sclerosis who uses a walker inside her home, she has to have a wheelchair when she goes out. But she was now living alone due to change in family dynamics. The place that she is living may only be temporary, and there were no relatives nearby, and she had no transportation. And when she had come to the clinic previously, she had reported that she had multiple falls due to balance issues. So this raised concern for safety for her and her well-being. So this is a situation where we had to report to Adult Protective Services of the Department of Human Resources. An investigation was done, and relatives got involved, and they moved the patient to an apartment closer to them. So now the patient is living in a safer environment. So, and the patient didn't really think that there was anything wrong. So sometimes patients who have some cognitive abilities, we have to be a greater voice for them when it comes to their safety. And then we need to be our own advocate. You know, there are needs that we have. We need support. We need information. And if we have a coworker in our office like I do, you know, we can go to each other's office and we can just kind of vent. And you know, they can we can be a support for one another. And then we can also refer to the websites, the IOMSN, the publications, and even the support services of the drug companies who can provide us with information and support as we try to speak for our patients. Now, there are situations where we cannot win every battle. The patient, so, you know, we need to see, well, who wins? Does the patient win? Does the nurse win? And in this situation, we'll see if there were any winners in this case study. We'll call her Sadie. She's a 45-year-old female patient who has secondary progressive multiple sclerosis who insurance changed. So prior authorization was required for her to continue on the medication that she previously was on. So we did the prior authorization, and it was denied because the drug was not on their formulary. We tried to appeal the decision because the patient had been on it, had been stable in the past, and again, it was denied. The drug assistance program of the drug was also working to try to get the patient covered, so they requested medical records. But upon review of the medical records, we discovered that the patient had been off of the medication for about 6 months. So we and her reason was she didn't like injections. So there was really no need to pursue this any further because it was stated in her medical record that she did not like the injections and she had been off. So the best option for her was to take the medication that was on the plan's formulary. But the patient did not lose. We didn't win this fight, but the patient did not lose because she was able to be on a medication to treat her multiple sclerosis. As we work with our patients, there are some instances where we can encourage our patients to speak for themselves. And we can find some steps that they can use to be a self-advocate from the Multiple Sclerosis Organization's websites. And I found these steps on the National Multiple Sclerosis website, but there are others that are also on the website of the MS Foundation and the MSAA. But the NMSS website lists these steps, and the patient may not use all of these steps, but the first step is to assess the situation that when they have identified a need, they need to consider the possible solutions. They need to know what their rights are. They need to identify those people who can meet the need, anticipate a reaction to the request. They need to be concise in making the request. They need to remain mindful. They need to remain mindful of the outcome. They need to be honest in their presentation, and they need to be persistent and organized. So this situation involves Ruth, who became a self-advocate. She's a 41-year-old female patient with secondary progressive multiple sclerosis, and I guess you're thinking all of our patients have secondary progressive multiple sclerosis, but indeed we have some that have other forms. Ruth requires a scooter for mobility. She works, and she needs transportation to get to and from work. She's unable to drive because she has poor vision, and she could not manage driving a vehicle. Her hands are weak, and she couldn't get from the driver's seat to get the scooter from the back of the vehicle or wherever wherever she put the scooter to travel. But she is aware that the Birmingham Jefferson Transit Authority has handicapped transportation. So she has decided, she has determined that she qualifies for this service, so she calls to inquire. She's informed that she must make an application and have her physician to complete a portion. The portion that the physician has to complete asks why a fixed route would not work for this particular patient. And, you know, what we can answer for that is the distance that she must travel to get to the fixed route, which is the bus stop. And then she must wait in the elements, whether it's raining or whether it's hot. And this really wouldn't be appropriate for her in her situation. So once we have complete the information and send it back to the patient, she, Ruth, turns all this information in, and she is approved. So she has service to and from work and to and from doctor's visits. So in summary, as we advocate for our patients, we must keep the patient as the focus in order to help them to get what they need. And then there are times when we need to know when to let go. You know, we as I stated earlier, we can't win all battles, but the ones that we can win, we can fight those to the best of our ability. But there are some we can't win, so we need to know when to let go. And then we need to recognize that advocacy is dynamic. Our patients' health status changes from time to time. You know, some people with the progressive MS, they tend to get worse slowly over time. So as we speak for our patients, the need to speak for will change from time to time. And then in some situations, our voice may be the only voice that this patient has to speak for them. And then we are patient advocates. Let's not forget that we need support as well, and we can refer to those resources that I referred to you earlier where we can get the support and the help that we need so that we can be a more effective advocate for our patients. And
Thank you, Willie. I know. Thank you for struggling through that. I know you're suffering from a cold the last couple days. Thank you for sharing all your personal experiences with us. And I think that you definitely captured nursing advocacy in that in nursing we are really inherent advocates, and we probably don't realize it, but we are advocating every day for our patients in our clinical practice in so many different ways, which you had brought up. So I think at this point we'll open up the queue for questions. Any questions, any comments from the audience? Doug?